out. Anyway, y'all, coming next to the stage. So a couple months ago, the Nerdlogs did a pretty cool event at the Soho House promoting our new card game Competition Kitchen, which is just about to be actually available, I think. Right, Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah, real soon we're going to have real physical copies for everybody who either bought one or will buy one. Or maybe we'll give you a free one if we like you. JK, we like all of you. But we met this woman at the event, struck up a conversation, became fast friends. She has a story to tell. Seemed like a good night for her to come tell it. Please welcome Leia Marshall.
Hello, everyone. Jeremy, that was some scary shit. I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
Did you name the bat?
We didn't.
That's the first thing. I always, whenever I meet an animal I like, I name it in my head and I give it a personality. And the first thing that came to mind when you were telling that story is, oh, I'd name it baseball bat.
I like it.
So, as Eric mentioned, we met at Soho House a few months ago. Kevin and Eric were promoting their new game, Competition Kitchen, which if you've ever dreamed about being on Iron Chef, this game will allow you to live out those fantasies. Kevin and I exchanged info after the event, and the next day he emailed me and he told me about this storytelling series that he runs. And I said, that's so funny because I just wrote a story and it would be so much more fun to share it with actual people than for it just to be on the internet somewhere. And so Kevin's like, okay, I think we could probably make something work. But our next opening isn't till October, and it's a Halloween show, and the theme is horror. And I'm like, well, that's perfect, because my story is about my last experience dating, and it ended with me getting ghosted. So this is a story about Ben. Ben was one of the best conversationalists I'd ever met, and he could make me laugh like no one else. The sexiest quality of all. We actually met at a grocery store. Well, technically, we connected on a dating app. But hours before our initial date, Ben and I literally almost bumped into each other at the Whole Foods in our neighborhood. He was there buying deodorant for our date. And I had just finished dance class and was running in for a drink. He spotted me, recognizing me from my photos, which was, frankly, a miracle, because Saturday mornings, I do 3 hours of dance classes, and usually just getting to the studio for the 10 a.m. class is a win. I rarely make time for niceties, like hair brushing, putting on underwear, definitely no makeup, and so I was surprised and flattered. We started chatting briefly, and then parted ways to get ready for the evening, and shortly after I left, I got a text from him, you're just as beautiful as your photos. So we ended up dating for 2 months and had the most fun together. From us going to the driving range and taking bets on who'd hit the caddy cart first, to a day trip to the Indiana Dunes, a salmon cook-off, his smoked salmon versus my world-famous raspberry chipotle roasted salmon, badminton on the beach, we weirdly both played in high school, leisurely bike rides, romantic boat rides, lazy brunches, strolls through Chicago neighborhoods, homemade tortilla and ceviche making, hashtag seduction, movies in the park, ping pong, and parties with friends. There was also incredible romance, affection, and chemistry. I was at an event last month where one of the speakers, an incredible poet named Najwa Zebian, said, when you feel truly seen by someone, you let your guard down and you're vulnerable. And we get attached to that feeling of authenticity, sometimes even more for our feelings for the person themselves. And I think that's what happened with Ben. I shared parts of myself with him that I hadn't with anyone else before. I remember one of the times that we cooked dinner together. We're at his dining room table, and I love to be rubbed. And so he was massaging my legs, and there I was with this incredible guy, and he just cooked me dinner, and he was rubbing me. And I was gazing into his gorgeous blue eyes. And I look at him and I say, Ben, I need to tell you something. And he's like, what? Oh my God, I hope this isn't being syndicated on Nickelodeon. I look at him and I say, all I want is for you to eat that corn salad off my body right now. And matter-of-factly, without skipping a beat, true Ben style, he replied, oh, you're into splashing. Does anyone know what sloshing is?
Nope.
Okay, a couple of people. What do you know about it?
This isn't gonna be a Nickelodeon, right?
No Nickelodeon. I've been told.
Well, it's like food porn, except
it's like a food fetish.
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't know what sloshing was until he said it. I just thought I really enjoyed treating my body like a platter and getting food eaten off of me. And I say this jokingly, but the truth is, I was totally myself with Ben. And I didn't realize until Najwa spoke those words that most of us go through life hiding aspects of ourselves a lot of the time. And Ben was no exception. About a month into our dating, I learned, while in a very compromising position, that Ben had just ended a 2-year relationship weeks before we started dating and wasn't looking for anything serious. There's a woman named Esther Perel. Some of you might be familiar with her. She gave a viral TED Talk on desire. I got to see Esther speak recently at an event, and she said something so profound. She said, often in dating, you're picked for a role that you didn't audition for. And this was definitely the case for both Ben and me. On our first date, Ben told me, you're so different than I thought you'd be, than your photos make you seem. At the time, I took it as a total compliment because my photos are saucy, and I thought Ben was saying that he loved how smart and substantive I am in addition to being hot. Nope, he was just communicating that he was looking for a fling and thought that I was too. And to be fair, I saw his profile and assumed he was a nice Jewish boy looking for something meaningful because that's what I was looking for. After Ben told me he wasn't looking for anything serious, my ego was a little bruised, but I figured I'd continue to date other guys and just move him down a peg on my priority list. The truth was, though, none of the guys I was dating made me feel what I felt with Ben. For me, one of the ultimate aphrodisiacs is incredible conversation, and it came effortlessly with Ben. He was always telling me something fascinating he had just read, or would respond to a question in a way that completely pushed my thinking. One evening after we'd spent the day together on a boat, I asked him what he loved so much about being on the water. He told me about how in Catch 22, one of the main characters does things that are boring as a way to prolong life by seemingly slowing time. There's a luxurious feeling to spending a day on a boat with nothing to do, Ben replied. I loved his thoughtful explanations and his unexpected answers and the creative, quirky way that he viewed the world. Towards the end of our dating, the text came a little less frequently and usually would start with a sorry for the late reply. One of my responses was, all good. Some guys just have a longer refractory period. Ben knew exactly what I meant, and without missing a beat, he replied, but when I finally do respond to a text, I'm incredibly passionate about it. Our last date together started with a walk hand in hand, then cocktails and delicious conversation overlooking the city at Hotel Roby, and finally sparks in the bedroom and in the kitchen. Nothing unusual or out of the ordinary happened that night, but I never did hear from Ben again. I had forgotten how much it hurt, missing his touch, the way his text put the biggest smile on my face, the tantalizing anticipation of our time together, knowing how much I turned him on, and the intoxicating feeling of being turned on as well. In that moment, and in the days that followed, I felt this horrible mix of embarrassment, sadness, and loss. We all have different ways of coping with our dating horror stories. On good days, For me, it's binge listening to Beyonce. So empowering. In my less proud moments, it's definitely cookie dough ice cream and cheesy Hallmark movies. Slightly less empowering. I think it's easy to blame yourself and beat yourself up when someone you're dating rejects you, especially when it happens without a conversation or closure. But the real horror story, and I believe this so wholeheartedly, is when we let these experiences define us, make us question that we'll ever find connection or chemistry again, make us doubt our value or that there are incredible people out there for us right now. And this doesn't just apply to dating. It's everything. It's a risk that we take at work that gets shot down. It's a leap that we take as an entrepreneur or an aspiring screenwriter that fails. The true horror story is never what happens to us. It's the meaning we give it, and whether we use it as an excuse to hold us back from putting ourselves out there again, or as a catalyst to reflect, learn, and become a stronger version of ourselves. When Ben disappeared, I got my hands on as many relationship, dating, and attraction materials that I could. The work I invested will make me a better partner in my next relationship. And the truth is, Ben's actions inspired me to become a stronger version of myself and elevate my standards for the men that I date. And I can't think of a greater gift that you can give someone than the inspiration to evolve. Sometimes I think it takes a heartache to realize you're worth more than you were settling for. And when you know how much you're worth, you stop giving people and ghosts discounts. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah Marshall, everybody. Oh my gosh. That was so lovely, but I'm kind of steamed that we just lost our Nickelodeon sponsorship. No, man. That was great. Oh, my God. I hate to be the kind of overweight, white, bearded comedian who's like, let me talk to you guys about dating. But, man, oh, it's so tough. It's really tough being ghosted. And I think it's really important to walk that line between, especially as a man, recognizing that women don't owe you their time. But also, like, when you make actual physical plans with somebody, like, please be respectful of the fact that, like, they are counting on that. And, like, you shouldn't just flick, right? Don't bail. Like, I would probably say 85% of the first dates I make never happen. Isn't that crazy? Like, 85%. Y'all, dating is hard. Listen to my perspective for once. Anyway. All right. Enough of that